Morning, church. It is good to be here today. Hey, I got a couple loose ends I want to tie up real quick. We have a couple thank yous here I want to just read. One is from Amy. I assume this is Amy Howarth. She's in Malibu, California. It says, "Dear Open Arms, just a note to say I'm thankful for your church. My head has pain every day, but God is faithful every day. Thank you for your care and prayer for me. In Jesus' name, Amy." And the verse she quotes on here is Isaiah 35:1. I did not look that up, but continue to pray for our missionaries. You know, they're doing a job that not everybody's called to do. And then the second one is from Jeremy and Tara Shaum. He was in a pretty good accident. We have been blessed as a church, and I'll give you a little financial blip where we're at. Currently, after bills paid, we have like $62,000 in the checkbook with two deposits that haven't been done yet. So financially, God has blessed us. So Les and Jesse and I decided that we were going to help a family that fell upon some hard times, and we paid some rent for them. And here it is, OACC family. "We have no words to be able to thank you for the amazing gift you gave us. You took such a huge stress off of us, and we will be forever grateful to you. Thank you so much. God is so good. Love and blessings, Tara and Jeremy Shaum." So that's pretty cool. Guys, that's what we're here to do. That's what we're here to do. I don't read those because, you know, the glory is God's alone. He's taken this church from 3 years ago, and we were a hot mess, to say the least. Les and Jesse and I and other leadership in the church, we used to meet weekly. We used to talk daily because we always had a fire. You know what our fire was? We weren't following God's plan. We were trying to do our own thing. Guys, I'm telling you, since that all happened, and I'm not going back in history, I truly believe that this church is here for the love of Jesus Christ. And it's here, we're here to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ. And we do a far better job with a lot less people out in the community. I don't know why, but we do. That being said, one other loose end. Anybody partake in the Morrow County Fair last week? Kids, we had what? Just three? So Morgan, Abby, and Brenna. I'm telling you, it was different. It was different. And I don't know if I want to get used to that way, but man, the shows ran a lot smoother. A rabbit show that usually takes, 28 hours to complete, still took plenty of time. We got there at on Thursday, we got there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I think we were pulling out at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, they only showed 138 rabbits versus 300 and some, but it gave the kids a chance to complete the project, and here's why I like it. And all that, and I'm sure Dwayne and Julie have stories. Morgan's world was rocked when she heard no fair. You know, this was possibly her last fair. So she had big plans for the fair. Man, when everything kind of went south in my barn. Started cutting corners, started doing this, started doing that. Had to be awoken. I, as well as Morgan, had to be woke up. Hey, there's still a possibility you got to show these things. You got to do your job. And I think about that, and I know probably the same with Dwayne and Julie. But these three kids had some success at the fair. I mean, I don't know which one, Abby, champion mixed feeder, right? You have reserve? So that's pretty cool. I don't know all the results of the shows other than the ones I was at because it was so hard. Normally I go, Chris and I go, and we sit at show after show after show all day long. And watch all the kids, and it's pretty cool. But More importantly than the rosettes and the stuff that the kids got, the awards they won, I'm here to tell you, the kids in Marquette County, we have some champion kids. And that comes from champion parents and champion churches. So that was pretty cool to me. You know, as I sit under my tent, because it's all off the truck, and I just sit there and get fat because I'm in the shade. But it was pretty cool. I had a lot of time to think. Okay, why did I tell you all that? Because that's going to relate to today's message. The thank yous, the fair, everything. Before I get into it, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and Lord, just take me out of the equation. Just, you've given me the message. You've given me what to say. Just shut my mind down and just take over, Lord. And let this be a message that we all need to hear. In this time, our country, we're not sure where we're going. We don't know what we're doing with this virus. Lord, just take this message today and let everyone apply it to their lives. In your name we pray. So today, I'm going to talk about, and I got this text message Wednesday. I texted Julie, look, I bet you guys didn't know it was me preaching. The message title is Take Heart, God is Our Keeper. And the passage I'm going to use today is Psalm 16, the whole chapter. But I'm going to go back a second. This, we're going to talk about David, and David is a pretty cool dude that happened in the Bible, right? I remember years ago we had a Bible school and we called it David, a man after God's own heart. Now what does that mean? It means David was a servant. He wanted what was best for God's kingdom from the time he was really young. Let's look at David's life. I'm not going to read it, but David was a shepherd, worked for his father, right? He was the youngest of some brothers. They all served in the military, a lot of them. Military was fighting the Philistine army. They were outnumbered, and the Philistines had this guy that was 10 foot tall. And every morning, this guy would come out, and he would challenge the Israelite army. Nobody wanted to go deal with this guy. Okay? Well, David gets sent to take supplies to his brothers from his dad. And, you know, that's one thing I can't imagine. Lindsay is not in a wartime right now, but Lindsay is over in Iraq. Now, I can't imagine sending Morgan on a plane with a bunch of supplies to send to Lindsay, to take to Lindsay. It just wouldn't make sense. David was actually younger than Morgan when this took place. So, 12-year-olds. How many 12-year-olds we got? Abby. Doug, you're mentally. So, Abby, I'm going to need you to walk across the desert and deliver supplies to the army. You can do it, right? You won't get lost. Right? Abby doesn't know her way to Mount Gilead yet. She's 12 years old. I'm teasing her. But David went, and then in the middle of all this is when the Philistine, Goliath come out, and he challenged these Israelites again, and David's like, what is this dude doing? And all the soldiers are like, get back, boy, you don't know anything about it. So David goes to the king and says, I can do it. I can't do it, but my God can do it. 12 years old. So what happens? He goes out, uses a couple smooth stones, picks up some stones on his way, puts them in his pouch, takes one stone, hits the giant between the eyes, dies. That's the start of David's fame, right? David later becomes friends with a guy who's the Son of the King. It goes pretty well for a while. Then, do we know that Saul tries to kill David 16 times? 16 times. What does David do? Trust in God and praise to God. Pretty cool. David then becomes king, right? He creates a pretty bad sin, adultery, commits with a gal that one of his soldiers out serving him in the military. She was left at home. He committed adultery. She became pregnant. He come back, tried to cover it up by letting this guy go to his house. This guy didn't go to his house. He stayed there at the castle or the palace. David then sends sends him back to the front line with a note. Hey, put this guy in the front line. And then when he starts engaging the enemy, pull back. David's a pretty great leader, right? You know what David had? He had Jesus. And David asked forgiveness, and David got forgiveness. Why do I tell you that? Because here's what I'm going to tell you. We are in a time where we don't know what's going on. Right? And it drives me nuts. But you know what we got to do? We got to trust. We got to trust. Letting go of every single dream. I'm not going to sing this. I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering changes, never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. And it's fitting how that song was our lead song this morning. That's pretty cool. But today we're going to be in Psalm 16. And this could go a bunch of different directions. But we're going to stay in Psalm 16. We're going to read the whole chapter. And it says, Psalm 16, 1 through 11 shows us how to respond to a crisis. Again, guys, this is David writing this psalm. And mine says a miktam of David. Anybody know what a miktam is? Probably a literary or musical term. The musical term, Matt says. That's good enough for me. Okay? It's a miktam of David. So David's probably singing this. You know, it's a song, right? I'm not going to sing it. I'll read it. Verse 1. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I'm just going to stop right there. In the midst of our crisis, is our prayer every morning, keep me safe, my God, in you I take refuge? Or is it, Lord, don't let me kill somebody today? I believe that, Barb. For in you I take refuge. What does refuge mean? Refuge means, man, nothing can get to me. I'm going to take my refuge in my God because He's going to put His hands around me to where nothing can touch me. Do you believe that? Verse 2, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the godly who are in the land, they are noble, they are the noble people. In whom is all my delight. Now let's just take those two verses for a second. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. That's the way I feel sometimes. Man, there's days when I can't do anything right. You know, yesterday, Chris and I went to get groceries, and I got into Lindsay's car because we drive it every once in a while, and I did my usual, I guess I flop, and I went in and I smashed my head on the side of the car, and I saw stars for a second. Chris was like, "What are you, dummy? You do that all the time. Why do you just flop? Why don't you sit down and then scoot in?" Well, apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the godly who are in the land, they are noble people in whom is all my delight. What does that mean? Here's what that means. Guys, we got to surround ourselves with other Christians. That's why church is so important. Because we should take our delight in seeing what happens in other Christians' lives. And being a part of what happens in other Christians' lives. Guys, surround yourself with good people. I'm not using this, so we'll just turn it over. Verse 4. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take their names on my lips. Guys, what's David really saying here? Man, there's one God. That's what he's saying. There is one God. If those idiots are going to chase those other gods, I won't say their name on my lips. Nor will I pour out their libations of blood. Sound like any place we know? Guys, I'm telling you, we're in a rough spot. Our government leadership can't even agree to disagree. We have got to remain strong on the promise that was given to us by the guy hanging on the cross and by the guy that rose again from the dead. Because if we don't, if we're counting on Donald Trump or Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or Nancy Pelosi or fill it in, LeBron James, if we're counting on any of those morons to pull us through this, we are in trouble. And we're going to continue to be in trouble. There is no man that can fix where we are. Not me, not Matt, not Les, not Rick, not Tim. No man. There is one fix to this. And we've got to get back to the heart. Verse 5, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Guys, if you think your life is good here, you can't imagine what it's going to be when Christ comes back. That's the promise we need to lean on. But we don't understand heaven. We know that we don't want to go to hell, but we don't fully understand heaven either. So what happens? We fall into the worldly stuff. Guys, you don't need to understand heaven. Here's what you need to understand. It's going to be a great place. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I will have a delightful inheritance. David's words here, you know, he could have put, I'll have a good inheritance. I will have an average. He put delightful. Okay? You know, Friday night I had a delightful experience. I got to walk Morgan across the field for senior night. And I won $50. Yeah. To which everybody around me said, oh, you're buying pizza. Yeah, probably. But I will have a delightful inheritance. I love that phrase. And it doesn't say maybe. It says surely I have a delightful inheritance. David knows what he is getting, even though he might not understand it. Number seven, verse 7, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Anybody else ever have that? You get instructed at night, can't sleep. Pretty cool feeling. God lays stuff on your heart at the weirdest times, right? And you say, God, why are you doing this to me now? I'm going to be so tired in the morning. I'm not getting, I'm not getting my 2 hours of sleep tonight. This, Matt, I'm not getting my 8 hours of sleep tonight, God. But he counsels us when we need to be counseled. He counsels us all the time. But he chooses to counsel us when we need his vision and his sight. Because we can't see what's going on. I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Guys, I go back to September 11th, 2001, 19 years ago. For that instant in time, we didn't have any of this other garbage. For that day and a half, 2 days, week, whatever it was, all we could think about was being an American. You know when the most flags in the history of the United States were sold? 9/12/01. Stores couldn't get them. Kind of like toilet paper during the COVID, right? But the American flag was the most purchased item on 9/12/01 because everybody wanted to be an American to show support for the American people that lost their lives, that were going into that rubble and digging bodies, that were doing whatever. That was the most patriotic time we've ever had, well, in my lifetime. But guys, what about Christianity? Can anybody tell me when the most Christian day ever was? When the most Bible sold per day ever was? About when the most people became saved? I don't know. But we need to take our Christianity and treat it like it's the most important thing in the world. David does. And with him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. So in all this garbage that's going on, we need to understand Jesus is right here. Our God is right here beside us every single day. Why are we fearing anything? It's proved time and time and time again what he can do, what he can defeat. He can defeat anything. Have a bad day at work? Look over in your passenger seat on the ride home and tell me who's riding with you. Anybody ever have that? I swear there's times when I look over and I see a silhouette of Jesus and it blows your mind. Chris said yesterday, you're preaching tomorrow. Are you prepared? And I said, yeah, I did it at work Wednesday when I was in my car. Because I'm pretty sure Jesus was sitting beside me, helping me. And I took the time to acknowledge it. I don't know if anybody else will get anything out of this message, but for me, I needed to hear it. Verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure. Guys, all the pain we go through here, it's going away. It's going away. You aren't going to have knee trouble. You're not going to have hip trouble. You're not going to have blisters on your heels. It's going to go away. Our bodies are, we will be perfect. Perfect. So I have a question. What measures do you take to keep you and your family safe? This is just part of my Bible. It has a thing called at issue. Do you lock your doors at night? Do you keep a weapon handy? Do you fasten your seatbelt every time you get into a car? Do you insist on helmets and protective gear when you ride bikes or go skating? Those practices may be effective in reducing your risk, but none of them are foolproof. That's why David's preferred security strategy was prayer. God knows exactly what changes are lurking in your life. Only He can properly prepare you for what lies ahead. Guys, if we're still trying to do it on our own, I, Les, Matt, the church, we have failed you. Because we have got to trust and we have got to turn everything over to God. It's that simple. Once you do it, you'll think, anybody lay awake at night worrying about stuff? Just me. Me and Charlotte. Karen's a warrior. Chris didn't raise her hand. She's a warrior. Savannah, how was school this week? Good. Teacher was okay. She laid at night, laid asleep, worrying about school. You're saying she was all right. See, I'm telling you. When we worry about stuff, there's no sense in it. All it does is you lose your 2 hours of sleep that you had. David didn't worry, he prayed. So the next time you're lying awake at night and you are worrying about something, fretting about something, say a prayer. I'll bet you go to sleep real quick. After that prayer, because God's going to come in and take over your mind and take over your heart and take over your thoughts, and you're going to go to sleep. Pretty cool thing about God. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. What's Dave say there? David's saying, hey, I know you beat death, so I'm not going there either. I know where I'm going to be eternally, God. Because of you. Nor will you let your faithful one see decay. Pretty cool. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So, once we trust, once we turn it all over, once we start our relationship with Jesus Christ, and we let Him have it, now is it all roses and butterflies? No. No. Have you ever prayed for something that they just really wanted really bad? Did it happen? Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't. Or it might not happen when we want it. But you have made known to me the path of life. What's that say? That God knows what Matt's path is for the rest of my life. It may be 20 minutes. It may be 50 years yet. I don't know. Why is that important that we don't know? It's important that we don't know because we would screw it up. You know, if I knew I was going to live 40 more years, would I live the way I'm supposed to live right now? And I know you teenagers think you're going to live forever, right? Guys, I'm telling you, we aren't promised tomorrow. Live your life the way Christ wants you to live it, the way he's given you an example to live it, the way David lived it. You can't screw up as much as bad as David did, I don't think. He was really good when he was a young Christian. Then what happens? We start thinking, I can do this a little bit, right? David commits adultery and then basically commits murder. God still loved him. So, I love this one. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Guys, you know what that means? It means when Jesus comes back, we're going to have nothing but joy. All the time. We're going to be Matt McGlaude on steroids because we are going to be filled with joy to the brim all the time because we're in God's presence. Not because anything I did, but because we're in God's presence in the last with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Guys, that's the best picture of heaven I can give you right now. You will fill me with joy in your presence with eternal pleasures at your right hand. It does not say pleasures for a half hour. It does not say pleasures for the next year. It says eternal pleasures. That is heaven, where you're going to sit at the right hand of the one and almighty God, filled with joy. I don't think we'll sit if we're filled with joy. But we're going to be in his presence all the time. Forever. That's pretty cool. Let me make sure there's nothing else I need to cover here. So what do I want you to take from this? I want you to be sure that Jesus is here to be our refuge. All the time. Not just when things are good. Not just when I'm being a good Christian. Jesus is our refuge all the time if we have that relationship with him. There is hope for every sinner who puts his or her faith in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus opened a door to a new life in heaven itself by his own sacrificial death and resurrection. If you have never done so, pray as David did. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. Amen. Guys, sometimes we get up here and man, we overthink and we fluff and we do this and we do that. This is pretty simple. Pray as David did, that I'm going to take refuge in you, Lord, all the time. Can't be that simple, can it? Can if we turn it over. Can if we turn it over. Guys, my challenge for you this week, and you know, as we are back in school full swing and we are back, is Mount Gilead full time? So, the two school districts we're dealing with, Galleon, are they full time? I don't know. Anyway, they're back in swing full time. Guys, pray for your kids every day. Pray for your kids' teachers every day because they're still in uncharted times. You know, Morgan came home and complained one day. I think it was the second day. Because, you know, Morgan might have, I think she's the queen now that she's a senior. Morgan said, "Do you know I have to walk all the way around the school to get from my first period class to my second period class because of all the one-way hallways?" She said, "Dad, all I'd do was take 10 steps back this way to go to this class, but instead I had to walk all the way around." I said, "Well, life stinks, kid." Of course, it was, did you know that it's 6 miles to get from those two classes by walking the correct way? Lexi, is that true? Is it 6 miles? It is. Lexi's saying, yeah. I haven't physically walked to school lately. But yeah. So, pray for your kids, pray for your teachers, pray for the administration. You know, they're trying to do what is best for each and every kid. And sometimes we don't even know what that looks like. But think of David. You know, if you ever need to read something, go to Psalms and just start reading, guys. Just start reading. Because God will bring out of it what you want, what He wants you to take from it. I learned a lot this week. I learned I don't like having my youngest one be a senior either. But I'm going to take refuge in the fact that I got eternity with God. Sitting at His right hand, full of joy and pleasures beyond belief. That's pretty. So my challenge is just live each day to its fullest. As a Christian, be bold. As a Christian, be bold. You know, one quick Coke story. I prayed when they switched these routes that I'd get a chance to really express my Christianity. And, you know, I've run into like 5 people so far because I'm in more Morrow County that knew me or know me or know of me. And I've had some opportunities. And guy down in Marengo, he and I have gotten into some pretty deep conversations about Revelation. Now, this guy's a conspiracy theorist to the 12,000th degree. But we have talked the Bible, and I've talked the Bible more with him in the last month and a half than I have in my previous 14 years. And I think, well, it's because you're on a good route. No, that's a condemnation on me as a Christian. I wasn't doing my job. Okay? God has lit a fire under me with this new route, and He's kind of using different people in my life now to push me. And I can appreciate that. But all I know is, at the end of the day, I want eternal joy. Priceless beauty, and just, I don't know, it's amazing what our God can do, and we don't even understand it. But guys, take Psalm 16, take what David was going through some crisis in his life when this happened, but notice that everything came back to what God did for him. It's not what we do for God. We can't do enough for our God for us to earn eternal salvation. Can't do it. The one thing we can do is choose Him. And I challenge you, if you have not made that decision yet in your life, and there's no time like the present, we're not promised tomorrow. So if you're out there and you don't know that you're guaranteed those eternal blessings and that eternal joy, come talk to Les, Jesse, Matt, Doug, anybody. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to lead you into that direction. Guys, it's a simple decision when you think about it. We got a lot of things tugging at us. Okay? My goal is, throw all those things away and turn them over to God. then it becomes a pretty easy decision. Man, I should not have listened to my wife. It is cold in here today. Hey, it's a big day today. It's a big day today. That today is a day like no other. There's no better time than today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you thankful for the example you give us in David, that he is a man after your own heart. And even though he was not perfect, Lord, he knew what he was in for when you returned. Lord, we just love you that you take us when we are sinners and you accept us fully into that eternity with you, Lord. We know that we can't do anything to deserve it. We can't do anything to earn it. But Lord, we pray that you put us in situations this week that we can show our Christianity and our love for you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So the praise team is going to come up and sing a song, and Les, Jesse, and I will be here. And if you want to make that commitment today, there's no time like the present. If you have questions, well, guys a lot smarter than me will have the answers for you.